Now, our final guest today has been on the show before and joins us today to talk about her latest book, Young Elizabeth, Princess, Prisoner, Queen. Welcome back to the show, Nicola Tallis.
Hello, Selena. So nice to be back with you.
It's lovely to have you back on the show. Now, she gets me every time I see anything historical about Queen Elizabeth I, because she had such a turbulent childhood and yet she became one of the great queens.
Exactly that. Yeah. I mean, I think that her childhood is often overlooked, because when we think about Elizabeth, we do tend to think of her as one of our most iconic queens. But actually, that is all done with the benefit of hindsight. And that turbulent youth could have quite easily ensured that things went a different way for her.
Yeah, because she wasn't even brought up by Henry VIII, was she? She wasn't brought up by a ruler. She was brought up by two women, really, by her mother and stepmother.
Yeah, absolutely. So her mother, Anne Boleyn, was executed before she was 3 years old, but does seem to have been very, very, very motherly towards her and lavish Elizabeth with gifts and affection. But definitely it was the last of Elizabeth's stepmothers, Catherine Parr, who had a huge influence on shaping Elizabeth when she was younger. So as you say, yes, she's Henry VIII's daughter, but he was by no means really involved in her upbringing at all.
And am I right, because I've seen different sort of conflicting, or heard different conflicting stories, Sir Thomas Seymour, he was very close to her. Was he very predatory, or did she welcome his intentions?
Well, to begin with, she seems to have welcomed his intentions. I think because she was very young. She was a teenager. She was flattered by the attentions of this older man who was very handsome, very charismatic. But very, very quickly, it became clear to her that Sir Thomas Seymour's intentions weren't pure by any means, that he was predatory, as you suggested, and that actually he was very, very dangerous in terms of putting her reputation at risk and causing a scandal. And that's basically what happens. He puts poor Elizabeth, teenage Elizabeth, in a very, very difficult situation, where we know that he was coming into her bedchamber early in the morning. We're told that sometimes he was trying to kiss her, and she was so vulnerable. So I think that there's no escaping from the fact that this was a very predatory man who knew exactly what he was doing to this vulnerable teenager who was very, very impressionable and didn't really have any understanding of the ways of men.
Yeah, very sad. And was it a result of that that she fell out with her stepmother, which was Catherine Parr at the time?
Yes, yeah, exactly. So we're told that on one occasion, Catherine Parr comes across Thomas Seymour and Elizabeth, with Thomas having Elizabeth in his arms. And understandably, this causes a huge fallout. Catherine is utterly devastated, and there's now no choice. Elizabeth has to leave Catherine's household. And so that's what happens. And it does seem that she and Catherine did make up to some extent before Elizabeth left. But tragically, Elizabeth would never see Catherine again, because she died in childbirth.
Oh, it's sad. Yeah, it's sad. It is tragic. The whole empire, the whole story is tragic. And then, of course, I mean, from your title, we've got, obviously, it's about young Elizabeth. We've spoken about her being a princess. The time she became a prisoner, now that was to do with the Wyatt Rebellion, and she fell out with her half-sister Mary, I believe.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So Elizabeth had been implicated in the Wyatt Rebellion, which aimed to topple her half-sister Mary from the throne and replace Mary with Elizabeth. And we don't know exactly how involved Elizabeth was with this conspiracy, but I think we can certainly say that she was fully aware of it. And Mary, who had until this point treated Elizabeth with huge generosity, I think was really heartbroken on a personal level at what she saw as Elizabeth's betrayal. And so Elizabeth was sent to the Tower of London as a prisoner.
Which is ironic, because that's where Anne Boleyn was, wasn't it?
Oh, gosh, yes, the irony is huge. And I think that Elizabeth would have had that at the forefront of her mind when she went to the tower. And we know she was utterly terrified. She knew all too well that most of those who entered the tower's walls as prisoners never left them again alive. And, of course, her mother's fate must have loomed large in her mind.
Yeah, it must have done. I read that even though she lost her mother at quite a young age, she was very, very close to her mother and kept a lot of her mother's trinkets around her for the whole of her life.
Yeah, absolutely. So we know that later in her life, Elizabeth had a ring that she wore for much of her life, which contained a portrait miniature of herself and another woman who is thought to be her mother. And I think it was one of these ways of keeping her mother's memory alive and, as you say, keeping her mother close to her, most definitely.
And then from, we've discussed princess and prisoner, so to Queen then, how long did she stay in the Tower of London? How did she get out and how did she become Queen?
So Elizabeth was in the Tower for a little under 2 months, and I think it's no accident that she was actually released on the anniversary of her mother's execution. I think that's almost a kind of deliberate irony on Mary's part. And she was released because there wasn't any evidence forthcoming of her guilt in the Wyatt Rebellion. So Mary realised that there was no alternative. Elizabeth would have to be freed from the Tower. But she was instead placed under house imprisonment at the old Royal Palace of Woodstock. And she was there for a year, pretty much, where she was under the custodianship of Sir Henry Bedingfield. And then she was eventually set at her liberty and allowed to go and live on her estates. And during the course of the next few years, her name does become linked with other conspiracies against Mary. But by now, Mary recognised that she was in a very vulnerable position because she had experienced possibly 2 phantom pregnancies. Oh. So she didn't have, possibly 2 phantom pregnancies. So she was sadly unable to produce an heir of her own. And so this really made Elizabeth's position much stronger. It became clear that with Mary childless, Elizabeth's path to the throne was inevitable. And her moment finally did come in November 1558 when Mary died. And suddenly that future that Elizabeth once could never, ever have envisioned as a possibility becomes a reality.
Wow. And she was only, what, 25?
25, yes. Yeah, so very, very young.
Yeah, much like the second Queen Elizabeth, she was very young as well, wasn't she?
Exactly. There's so many parallels, actually, between those two young Elizabeths. It's extraordinary.
And we've mentioned Mary. She had quite a few siblings and half-siblings, didn't she? Do you go into that in the book?
No, not a great deal. It's really, I mean, the relationship between Elizabeth and Mary is something that I've paid a lot of attention to, because I think that it is one of the most important relationships in Elizabeth's life. And we do know also that, of course, that both sisters, both Elizabeth and Mary, were very close to their half-brother, Edward VI. So I do pay that relationship a lot of attention as well. Certainly these relationships were really, really important to them, I think, on a political level, but also on a personal level.
Yeah, I suppose as far as females are concerned, Mary was the only constant in her life, wasn't she?
She was. And I think that we have to remember that, to Mary's credit, as soon as Anne Boleyn is out of the way, and Anne Boleyn had made Mary's life a misery, but as soon as Anne Boleyn is out of the way, to Mary's credit, she really embraces Elizabeth as her sister, and she's very, very fond of her. And I genuinely think that it is one of the greatest tragedies of both of their lives that these half-sisters end up being pitted against one another. And it's so sad when really they had the potential to be so close.
Yeah, indeed. Well, you've obviously done a lot of research on this, because we're always finding out new things all the time. What was your most surprising discovery about writing this book?
I think what surprised me most was how many of Elizabeth's letters we have from this time in her life. I think some have been perhaps a little bit overlooked and lost because we concentrate so much on Elizabeth the Queen. But actually, There are a huge number of Elizabeth's letters written in her own beautiful italic hand from when she was growing up. And I think that these do really allow us to see Elizabeth the person as opposed to Elizabeth the Queen.
Yeah. And it was a bit tragic as well, wasn't it, that she never had any children. And I don't believe she married, did she?
No, absolutely not. So we think of Elizabeth now as being the virgin queen, the queen who never, ever married. And I think that, I mean, who can blame her? Because she'd seen the way in which her father, Henry VIII, had discarded many of his wives. And it is said that it was actually during the reign of Elizabeth's half-brother, Edward VI, that Elizabeth first declared that she had no interest in marrying whatsoever. So clearly what she had seen in her early life had a huge impact on deciding her future decisions in terms of matrimony.
Yeah, I don't blame her. Her early life certainly shaped the queen that she later became.
Yes, it really, really did.
And we're always fascinated with the Tudors and probably will be. So it's great to have another read about them. So the book is called Young Elizabeth, Princess, Prisoner, Queen. We're selling it right now on our website, tre.radio. And it's by Nicola Tallis, who we're chatting to now. Nicola, can you remind us of your website as well?
Yes, absolutely. So it's nicolatallis.co.uk.
Great. And I probably ask you this every time you come on, but what's your next book and when can we have you on again?
Oh, do you know, I can honestly genuinely say that I don't actually have anything else lined up at the moment. But I know, but I do promise it will be coming soon, so I will definitely come back.
Great stuff. Well, you have a good day and thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure as always. Bye
bye.